Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, if you filled up your car this morning and been staggered at just how much money you spent, well, last night from midnight, 2 more cents a litre was put on petrol and diesel. And we already know that we're spending 1/3 more at the pumps than we did this time last year. Well, I'm joined on the line by Paddy Common, who's head of communications with the AA, Justin Urquhart-Stewart from Investment Platform regionally, and from Brussels by Suzanne Lynch, journalist with Politico Europe. And just before we discuss energy price inflation, Suzanne, there's breaking news in the past hour that the European Commission has been criticised for not disclosing communications with the head of the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer. This was before sealing a COVID-19 vaccine deal. Will you just bring us the latest on that firstly?
Yes, the EU Ombudsman, Emily O'Reilly, she has come out with a report this morning, and this is into a growing controversy over the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen's text messages that she exchanged with the Pfizer CEO last year. She disclosed that she had been texting the Pfizer executive in an interview with the New York Times in April. And then there was a follow-up. A journalist tried to get access to those texts, and the commission more or less said no, and they couldn't get access to the texts. So now this has been under inquiry by the ombudsman, and she's out with her findings this morning. It's highly critical. She said it effectively amounts to maladministration by the commission. And she says that text messages should fall under EU transparency rules. The commission has been trying to argue that really texts are not, shouldn't be included in terms of scrutiny, public scrutiny of the commission's activities. So she's been laying down this line this morning. We're still waiting for a response from the commission.
Okay, and Emily O'Reilly has asked that a further search be done for those relevant text messages. Stay with us, Suzanne, because we are going to look at energy and fuel price pressures at home and abroad now. And as I said, Paddy Common, head of communications with the AA, is on the line. So Paddy, many people will have noticed just this morning another jump in prices at the petrol and diesel pumps. What's the latest on this? Another 2 cents, is it?
Yeah, funnily enough, I'm actually sitting in a forecourt in Portlaoise at the moment talking to you, and I'm looking at petrol prices of just under 175 cents per litre for petrol. And I passed similar prices on the way down from the M1 this morning. So yeah, we have seen quite a jump, and this is, it's going to be our record pricing, because we did see record pricing just passed in November when the barrel of oil was $85 per barrel. We've passed $90 per barrel, so we can confidently say when we do our next survey that we will record record pricing, and we are seeing now record pricing at petrol pumps. So it's more pressure on the average motorist, unfortunately.
And it's only going one way for now, is it?
Yeah, it is, because we've seen from the budget that the government has indicated that carbon tax will increase every year in the budget. So we know that there will be an incremental increase regardless of what happens in oil prices. And oil prices are on the way up. And obviously with fears of potential disruption of oil supply from Russia, this has caused the market jitters, which have seen these increases.
OK, and normally you'd be telling people to shop around. You've covered a good bit of road this morning. Is there much disparity in prices?
No, I mean, habitually when you see, when we look at pricing, it tends to be on the main arterial routes and the city centres where you'll see the highest prices, and you might see lower prices in rural areas, but there's not a huge disparity. It's a couple of cents between what I've seen and what we're seeing in our surveys.
All right, Paddy, thank you very much for joining us. Paddy Common from the AA. As I said, Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with us too, and from Investment Platform regionally. And Justin, as Paddy was saying there, crude oil is at $90 a barrel. That's at that level for the first time in 8 years. Is this all down to the tensions between Russia and Ukraine?
Good morning to you. Well, not necessarily. There are other issues coming together. That rather overused phrase, a perfect storm, is occurring. You have to put it into perspective as well. The oil price, you only have to go back nearly just over 2 years, was technically negative. You quite literally couldn't give the stuff away. Okay, that was a technical change on the pricing structure. But nonetheless, from almost naught now to where we're heading, which is going to be probably over $100 a barrel, it has been quite remarkable. So the market is very volatile anyway. But it's not just the issues of the geopolitical issues, as you said, about Ukraine and Russia causing nerves right the way through, but also there's been increased demand. I mean, we're very fashionable to say so, but actually the global economy, considering considering the sort of heart attack he's had to go through in the past 2 years, has actually recovered quite well. So interest rates going up in the States, but equally, rather perversely, interest rates dropping in China. Both their economies are growing. China actually wants to try and grow a bit faster, but it's a combination of those issues, then also in terms of straightforward supply and demand, and that vital word which runs an economy, confidence. People aren't very confident at the moment.
Yeah, and you've just mentioned $100 a barrel, so another $10 compared to where we're at now. Then what happens?
Well, the answer is nobody actually knows. You did mention, of course, there was a rather large bear's paw on the gas taps in Russia. And if that gets any worse, and there's any disruption to oil or gas supplies, then that could easily squeeze this. Now, bear in mind at the moment, what you're also doing is countries having quite often run down their reserves. Certainly the United Kingdom did, the United States did as well. And so they're now trying to build up those reserves again. And of course, that again is pulling more product out of the market and therefore putting that squeeze on it. So I'm afraid that at the end of all of this, it's the poor old consumers have to suffer it. But bear in mind, certainly in the Republic, the largest chunk of every litre that goes in is actually paid as tax. It's not just for the oil companies and anybody in between.
Mm-hmm. And there have been calls for that for those taxes to be reduced, but there doesn't seem to be much movement on that. But if we do get to the point where $100 a barrel is where we're at, and you're saying that we could stabilise at that point, so we'll be dealing with these high prices for some time to come.
It could easily be, because at the moment what you've got is the oil countries themselves. We've got OPEC and OPEC Plus to allow Russia to get included as well. They're in no particular mood at the moment to see the price coming down, because a lot of them actually had their base costs actually rising quite a lot. And so, as far as they're concerned, they would happily like to see a stable price on or around $100. And it was interesting to see, only 2 or 3 years ago, everyone was laughing at that. Who would set their budget at that sort of level? Who could be that stupid? Well, President Putin. So we have to be very careful of this. It's not just, of course, oil. It's all those other commodities too.
Yes, gas and coal as well. Justin, thank you very much for joining us. That's Justin Urquhart. Stuart, back now to Suzanne Lynch from Politico Europe, who's still with us, because we were mentioning the tensions on the Ukrainian-Russian border as being a major factor in all of this. Where do things stand as of this morning, Suzanne?
Well, Russia, it's really the ball is in Putin's court, as it were. Russia has said it will respond to written responses that the US and NATO delivered to Moscow this week, but that it indicated it's in no rush to do so. In saying that, we've got a phone call today between the French President Emmanuel Macron and Putin. So there could be something from that. But now the discussions that are happening in Washington and Brussels is about how best to respond and what would trigger reaction from the West. You know, would it be a small incursion or would it need to be a full invasion? And yesterday, a senior Biden administration official said again that they expect that it's possible that Putin could invade in February. But just picking up on the conversation there about energy, I mean, this is crucial to this whole debate here in Brussels. Germany in particular is coming under a lot of pressure. It is poised to begin accepting gas through a huge pipeline, Nord Stream 2, that runs directly from Russia to Germany. There's already Nord Stream 1. This was a second pipeline that Angela Merkel signed up to. And Berlin is coming under huge pressure from America and also from some other European countries in the East to sanction that, to stop that if Russia invades. So it's a difficult position for Germany because it is so dependent on Russian gas.
Yeah, and that's the case for many European countries too, isn't it? It provides such a dilemma in dealing with this problem because it's going to impact citizens, as we see from our forecourts here this morning.
Yeah, I mean, Russia supplies about one third of Europe's natural gas, and it's become more important as the EU's own output has declined on this. For example, Angela Merkel, about 10 years ago, announced the phase out of nuclear energy in Germany. A lot of people now are saying, was that a good idea? Because now it's even more dependent on gas than it once was. The other problem is that of the Russian gas that gets into Europe, about, I think, a third of that flows through Ukraine. So if there was a situation in Ukraine, Russia could obviously just turn off that gas and you would have a very immediate problem. So huge issues here. I mean, where the EU has power, has leverage in this whole Russia debate is not so much militarily, that's an issue for NATO, but it's in terms of sanctions. Europe does a lot of business with Russia. Europe has this big energy dependency on Russia, and of course Europe is Russia's biggest customer, so it doesn't, you know, want to jeopardise things either. So right. That's where the discussions are happening now, is how far they will go on sanctions.
Suzanne Lynch with Politico Europe, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Coming up next, with the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday this weekend, Brian O'Connell reports from Derry as the city prepares to remember.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.